Under Fire Radio.
Welcome to Under Fire Radio. This is Shada, and unfortunately Berserk won't be able to be with us for this whole episode, but when he can, he's going to pop in on us and tell us what's going on with him. But to take his place today, we've got someone else here. Who might that be on the other end of the phone?
Obfuscated.
Woohoo! Look.
At 10:30 though.
Hey, yeah, I know it's early, but hey. I have to work in like 2 hours, okay? Man. But anyway, so what's going on with you, man?
Installing the sweet Slackware again.
And since I started trying to do that, I've had nothing but problems with Slack. I can barely get past the little boot screen.
But I got a solution for you, my friend.
What would that be?
I found a walkthrough how to about 6-7 months ago for Slackware installation.
Yes, you posted that on VinRev, didn't you?
Did you use that?
I did. And you know where it's got the boot colon screen and you hit enter?
Yeah.
When you first try and install? It goes through
right.
That, and then it gets to where you choose your keyboard. Like, your keyboard
right.
Layout, and it pauses every single time. I've used 5 different CDs on this now. So I'm thinking of trying to go back to, like, version 9-something.
9.1?
I don't know.
9.1? Yeah, that's what it is. Before that's 9.1. So it doesn't actually, press, like, test your keyboard out or anything?
No, it tells me to press enter or whatever for the US layout, and I can't I can't even turn caps lock on or anything. It just freezes.
You must have a Microsoft keyboard then, huh?
I don't know. It's on my laptop. It's come back, so.
Oh, you're trying to use it on a laptop, right?
I'm trying to get rid of it right now. Then
I wouldn't know anything about that. But I've never tried it on a laptop.
Yeah, so I'm thinking...
That could be a big problem.
Yeah, I'm thinking...
I would try 9-1.
Yeah, if that doesn't work, I'm just going to try something else on here. But I do know...
Have you tried...
Go ahead.
There's a newer Debian distribution called Ubuntu, I think it's pronounced.
I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it, though.
It's pretty interesting installation. I'll send the link to you. You can put it up in the show notes. So that Ubuntu.com. I don't have the pronunciation of the spelling of it right offhand. On it.
Yeah. Who was it? I think it was somebody on IRC last night. Who actually told me about this new. Well, I don't know if it's new, but it's a Debian package. It comes with Asterisk, and it's a complete self-installer. It installs everything for you, yeah. I'm not sure how to either pronounce it or what the website is, but wait, hold on, I can get it here. But I was looking over it a little bit, and it looks really interesting.
Check that out.
It is Zoricom Rapid, risk-free asterisk, at Zoricom.com, Zoricom.com. And
that's groovy shit.
Yeah, I will put up a link in the show notes as well.
Cool. Can we curse on this show?
Oh yeah, I don't care.
Can we curse?
Have fun.
Okay, good. Because I got a potty knock.
Yeah, I've noticed.
As you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, actually, I've got a couple of questions about Infonomicon Radio for you. First of all, what made you and Droops decide to start Infonomicon?
Okay, Infonomicon started as the Droops Show. He put a little 20-minute episode out, a pilot, and he was, put it on the forums for everybody to listen to, give comments or whatever. And I listened to it, and it was a pretty cool show, and I talked to him IRC a little bit, and it helped him kind of get rid of some of the noise on the audio. And he did an episode, I think it was number one, number two, and number three, he had to go away for something for a week, and he actually host the show. So I did one. It was like a 30-minute episode. And we started talking. I helped him out in the audio a little bit more. And so episode 4, we started like just doing the show together. And he wanted to change the show name because obviously it wasn't just Droops anymore. And we changed the name a few times, kind of get a feel. We first changed it to DevNull Radio, and then somebody already had that. So we decided to change it again to... I was looking around my room, and I had those really old Necronomicon books.
Mm-hmm.
And we just threw around some names, and that's where Infonomicon came from.
Very cool. It turned out quite well, I must say.
We try, man. We try. It's a hard time getting everybody together. It's hard to get two people together at the same time every week.
Yeah, I know how it is. I mean, me and Berserk have already had schedule conflicts a little bit, so... We typically record early.
Yeah, and Droops is married. Yeah. And Droops is married and everything, which makes it a little harder and everything, but we get it together. We take care of it.
Yeah. How long have they been married now? Because I still haven't seen any pictures.
What's that?
So how long have they been married now? They've been married for, like, how long now?
Okay. It was been during the show, so...
Yeah, I know that.
Maybe a few months now.
You know, because I still haven't seen a single picture of his wife. Me and Berserk were talking about that the other day.
Even though he says how hot she is like 2,000 times on the show, yes. He's got a personal website. I don't know what it is about that. He keeps telling people to search for it. But, give me a picture I can post it on the site.
Sounds awesome. All right, you actually answered my next question already about Infonomicon, about the name, but, you know, that's either way it works. There. I believe you mentioned already where you get most of your information from, the RSS feed.
Right. Originally, I just had a huge list of sites I went to, which took me, like, a few hours to go to each site and just, like, you know, look at the last week and check the news out. And And then I discovered new RSS feeds, and which makes it hell of a lot easier. Oh, so each day I just check it out, search through the hundreds of news articles that could be even, you know, used for SNL, because there's tons and tons of them. But, you know, we just try to throw an hour and a half worth of information. So we just pick, like, the weirder ones and the most interesting ones.
Yeah. And the last question, how much did Droops get paid by Nopix to pimp that book the entire episode?
Unfortunately, nothing, because we're all about advertising, man, because the way I see it, no one would, like I said in the last episode, no one would want to advertise on a show, because we just, it would be pointless advertising on people not accounting, so it would probably just add nothing product the whole time. But nothing, man, he just has a book, and he threw all his articles away by accident, so he's like, let me just open a page and let me read some snippets out of it, and talk about it a little bit.
Well, it sounded like an interesting book from what I heard, at least.
I checked it out at Barnes & Noble a few times, and yeah, it's pretty good book. Then again, it's an O'Reilly book, which they put out pretty good.
I'm sorry, I missed that. What did you say?
Oh, yeah, I said it's put out by O'Reilly, if anybody wants to check that out. And it's a really good book.
Sounds like a plan. I'll check that out pretty soon.
Cool.
All right, well, let's move over to emails real quick. I forgot to put this in the show notes, but I did get one email from Eb Struce, who's been frequenting the BinRoy forum a couple times.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, guys, just listen to the new episode. It's a big improvement, I think, content-wise. Shada still sounds a little low compared to the others, though. Low is in sound volume. Also, there was a lot of visual distortion on the show. Either digital cell phones, cordless phones breaking up slightly, or VoIP problems, it sounded like. No big deal, though. I just wanted to clarify something that you brought up on the show. I was the one who made the post about UE being boring. I didn't mean it like that. UE is cool and all. It just seems that most shows, when they talk about UE, they tend to talk about the journey more than the destination. Now, this is cool when you're experiencing it, but it's boring to listen to someone talk about walking through a steam tunnel for 15 minutes. It's cool to hear about the 1950s bomb shelter they found at the end of the tunnel in a block-off section. It's just one of those things, I guess. The SE stuff this episode was great. Lots of good tips, but I wish you could have done some live or recorded calls. Maybe for another episode down the road. You did, however, seem to do the show out of order a bit. Emails, then news, then guests, then save your various topics for last. But you guys admitted to it, and it wasn't a big deal. Just threw me as I was listening. Again, really cool show. Can't wait for the new episode. The abstruse one.
Okay, and digital storage, I didn't notice anything. Did you notice any or?
Other than clipping, I didn't really notice anything. But then again, I'm deaf, so what can I say?
What was the urban exploration you were talking about earlier? Were you in a steam pipe or something like that?
He was talking about being in a steam tunnel for 15 minutes, yeah.
Joe, I actually thought, I don't remember y'all talking like for 15 minutes about that, but, it's hard to talk about something that's total visual, like urban exploration, and it all depends what you lead to, and I thought it was pretty interesting to talk about it, but anyway, I'm just a listener.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, urban exploration, it can be interesting to talk about it, but again, like he says, if you talk about the same part for like 20 minutes, it can get boring, as with anything else. But
right.
For the majority, I think it's pretty interesting. Like, have you listened to White Swords shows?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I thought those were pretty interesting. I like those.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has some pretty cool videos too.
Yeah, he does have a good show. If you haven't checked that out, I'm not sure what the website is, but you'll check out his urban exploration videos. Very good if you're interested in that sort of thing.
Right. Recording the show, have you mentioned what you recorded the show with yet? Or?
Actually, no. Are we talking about hardware or software?
Software to start off with.
Well, software, I use Audacity, which is a free audio editing thing. You can get it on SourceForge, I'm pretty sure it's on SourceForge.
Yeah, it's on SourceForge.
Yeah, and thus, being that it's on SourceForge, it is open source. So, you know, if I knew how to code outside of HTML, I'm sure it would be beneficial to me in that way. But I can't.
Yeah, it's a pretty good project.
What was that?
It's actually a pretty good project. I'm going to start using it for recording, actually. Not the editing part, because it doesn't... Even though I like it, I just have enough features I need for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like noise reduction part of it. It's good, it's just not great.
Well, what do you... You use Adobe, don't you?
Well, I still call it Cool Edit, but it was bought out by Adobe. It was called Adobe Audition now,
mm-hmm.
which is up to 1.5, I believe. Yeah, 1.5.
I'd have to check that out.
And of course, yeah, I use a ton of plugins though. The best one, if anybody knows anything about audio editing out there in the internet, the Waves Gold Bundle. It's WAVES Gold Bundle. They put a bunch of bundles out, but they've got some really cool plugins for Adobe Audition.
What's the website?
Waves Gold Bundle?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It'll bring it up. It'll be like the first hit on Google. I know that.
Alright.
Yeah. Because it's pretty well known in the audio world.
Alright. Well,
speaking of auto editing, what did I hear about cell phones on planes?
Yes. I actually have a news article about that. Hold on. I'm going to find it here. Currently, phones can't be used on planes for two reasons. One, airlines say they could interfere with navigation systems. And two, at cruising altitudes, they can't connect with the network of masts on the ground. Some technological solutions to the second problem have already been examined with some success. American Airlines have experimented with a device called PicoCell, a miniature receiver installed on an aircraft. Passengers using their existing phones with a signal picked up on this Pico cell and then relayed to a satellite, then to the ground. And it seemed to work. So apparently, the one place where you didn't have to worry about listening to everybody else talk to their husband and whoever else they could think of for hours on end has been invaded by cell phones now.
Unfortunately, but they used to be, I don't know, I haven't ridden in a plane a long time, they always used to have those airplane phones.
Yeah, they still do, but as we all know, first of all, their rates are completely unpredictable, and second of all,
right.
Whatever those rates are, I'm sure it's going to be like, you know, $20 a minute or something crazy like that.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what, if you're looking for, like, you know, terrorism on airplanes, let people start using their cell phones. Can I tell you right now, man, if I'm traveling like a far distance for like at least like 2 hours or more, and I can hear the woman next to me talking about changing her baby diapers, I'm just going to fucking flip.
This is what I'm talking about. But,
yeah,
I mean, I guess it does have its good points, because, you know, if you have business you need to take care of, it's going to be a lot cheaper just using your cell phone on the plane. But,
definitely.
You're going to have to sit there next to that guy and listen to his boring business meeting about the new kinds of toilet paper that Charmin wants to put out, you know?
Oh, God. It has to be more than 2-ply, though, man.
This is true. But seriously, it's going to be... In my opinion, I would just rather keep cell phones out of planes, but there's no way that's going to happen forever.
That's true. It was time to come eventually.
Yeah. And I guess the time is now. But anyway, I'm going to jump around a little bit. I want to jump back to the email real quick.
Okay, sure. All
right, let's see here. As far as the digital distortion, I am right now doing the best I can. I'm going to check out Adobe Audition, though, and see how that does. Having used Photoshop quite a bit, I assume the learning curve for Audition will be a steep one, but I'll check it out anyway.
Yeah, just play with it for a little while. You'll get used to it. The thing about recording is, so you won't get no distortion, the best way, at least, is make sure you're recording, like, when you're recording, make sure it's like a -3 at the most. You don't want to hit that 0 when you're recording. You can do that later when you're editing it, when you punch up the volume a little bit, so you can always go back. Because once it clips when you're recording, it's clipped. even if you decrease the volume, it's still going to sound click.
I might have to check that out. I never thought about that.
Yeah, so I always keep it around like -3 dB or lower. You can always, if you want to punch it up to 0 later on, you can always do that. That's an obfuscated tip of the day.
Well, thank you. I will definitely be using that one then.
No problem.
And then to the last paragraph of the email, the social engineering stuff, about the live calls, right now. My three-way on my cell phone is very unpredictable, so I'm not even going to assume, or I'm not even going to try to do a three-way call and do social engineering live. But as, Berserk mentioned last week, we are accepting emails about things to social engineer. I'm not going to do all your work for you, but if you do want to see something, then me and Berserk, when he gets back, will more than gladly show you how we do it. So.
Yeah, you gotta get out there and practice. Gotta get out there and practice.
Yeah. My guess, at first it'll be pretty simple, but hopefully eventually we will get into more complex, longer drawn out things.
You gotta do elite shit like Kevin Rose and get free pizza, you know?
Dude, that right there, I couldn't even begin to touch that.
Let me just give you a little thing about that. The free pizza thing, you can get up there and just go in there and say, hey, I want a free pizza, and they'll probably give you one, because mostly they just don't give a shit. The thing that Kevin Rose did wasn't really that elite, you know, because most pizza places are run by young kids. And they'll just give you one just for bitching enough, because they don't really give, they don't really want to hear you anymore.
You do have a point.
Yeah, so that's it. That's all I got to say about that.
But anyway, we're gonna jump around a little bit. Going back to the news now. I've actually got another article here I thought was kind of interesting. Apparently there is a town in Louisiana, Mink, Louisiana, that has no telephones. There's no wires, nothing. It's like they just stopped building the wires when they were first instituting the whole telephone system. But after more than 100 years of the invention of the phone, this tiny town is finally getting them. But the geography forbids wired connections, so they will be provided with cell phone towers.
What a jump.
Yeah. From what I understand right now, they are using, these phones with a big pouch. I don't know what that's all about, but they have to go to this one spot, this one quarry or something, and that's the only area around there that gets reception.
I would love to visit this town and see if they actually have the old school phones where you pick up and you put the receiver to your ear. You know what I mean?
No, they don't even have that. It's like this portable phone, like a satellite phone kind of thing, I guess. That they have to take to this one area, and it's the only area around that can get any kind of reception. And
God, that sucks.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking they have a Walmart.
Yeah, they do. They do have a Walmart, actually, yeah.
Oh, shit.
In the article, they interviewed somebody. And in this interview, apparently, whenever this family goes to Walmart, they use checks. And since they don't have a phone number, they can't put it on there. So they get asked to put it on there, and they always have to tell the cashier, but we don't have a phone number, which apparently boggles their mind.
Which always says that no matter where you go, there's always Walmart.
I can't talk. This phoneless town. There we go.
I gotta take a trip over there. I might do an Infonomicon from Meek, Louisiana.
Hold on, I'm trying to think. How far is Louisiana from here?
What state are you in?
South Carolina, unfortunately.
My mom lives in Myrtle Beach, so last time I checked it was 14 hours or something?
It's something. I'm not really sure. It's a way.
It's close to that, actually.
I'm not sure. Maybe I'll have to take a special trip out there one day, you know?
Just to go to Mink?
Yes.
And take pictures of that one phone.
Oh, they did have a payphone there apparently at one time at like some general store. But apparently the store closed down, and with that went the payphone.
Took his payphone and left the hell out of town, huh?
Apparently.
Man. Santa Claus, man. What's going on with that?
Yeah, apparently something's going on with that in Finland. The Finns want professional Santas. The popular Santa Park at the Arctic Circle suffered a blow to its reputation after failing to provide a meeting with Santa for all children in a large group of British tourists. Service Union PAM will now renew its struggle to improve working conditions for Santas and elves, the Norwegian newspaper news bureau ANB report. PAM wants more of them and for them to have full employment rights rather than being created as part-time seasonal workers. If one cannot arrange a meeting for children with Santa in connection with a trip to Lapland, disappointment is obviously great. Santa's reputation is damaged, and Finland's reputation as a tourist destination is damaged, the union said. Pam said that part-time Santas can mean lower-caliber Santas, and student Santas are an even bigger quality risk. Santa Park has indicated that they will no longer cooperate with PAM since all of their employees are temporary workers hired only for the Christmas season.
I have a couple of questions about this. First of all, they call it Lapland, okay? You know, just right there, the word pedophile comes to mind.
Which Santa is?
Apparently. Second of all...
They have
student Santas? What, they have like a Santa school? I don't get that.
It's 3-week course, man. You get a diploma at the end.
Oh my goodness, that reminds me. Last week I mentioned a friend of mine that works at McDonald's. And well, he was telling me one time, apparently his manager went to quote unquote hamburger college for McDonald's.
Oh, Domino's managers do that too.
Seriously, I thought this was really weird.
Yeah, Domino's managers go to a place, and it's like out of state. You have to actually travel across country.
Yeah, that's what she had to do. I just thought that was really weird that they had a hamburger
it is.
College.
It's such like a non-mental demanding job.
This is true.
But I could go on a political rant about this, but I'm not. The thing about this, I don't understand. Like we have like. Part-time Santas, and they gotta do it once a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's usually drunk bumps, but they do the job. I've never had a part-time Santa.
My friend got hit on by a Santa, that was nice.
Yeah. But I've never had a problem with a Santa. Have you ever had a problem with a Santa?
A problem with them? No. Of course, I haven't gone sat on a Santa's lap since I was like 5, but, you know.
Well, true, but, like, why would you have a full-time Santa?
I'm not really sure, but maybe they want Lapland to be like a year-round thing, you know. Christmas in July, truthfully.
I think we need to go, like, Finland needs a Walmart. To give them something to do. I was listening to the radio, and I heard last week, if you, like, just, like, mail a letter to Santa, the North Pole, it actually goes to Alaska.
Seriously? So I could go out today and put Santa, North Pole, and it'll go to Alaska?
Okay, there's a place called North Pole, Alaska. Maybe I'm getting that wrong, but there's a place called North Pole. And it's been a thing that these people in North Pole, Alaska, wherever it's at, have been doing since, like, the 50s. It's volunteer work. It's all, like, volunteer charity work. And what they do is they take all the letters and they actually respond to them.
That's actually really cool.
As much as they can, of course, because
yeah.
You can imagine how many letters. But, yeah, they respond to the kids.
That is actually a really good idea. Wow.
Yeah, that's why we do this for, like, North Pole. Yeah. It gets to them.
Love that. Yeah. Wow. I did not know that. I might have some time to a letter this year.
So that's what I'm doing today. After we do this interview, I have to go to the post office from some other stuff, and I'll mail a letter and see if I get responded to.
That would be completely awesome. I will still have to check it out. Oh, and if
if anybody else does this and gets a response, I want you to email me that response. I want to choose some of them and read them over the air, because that would be really neat, I think.
Or you can send your email to Underfire Radio and tell them what you want for Christmas.
You could do that, and we could read that as well. And, you know, if by some chance I happen to stumble upon $1 million within the next 2 weeks, or however long it is until Christmas, you might just get it.
You might get a Underfire keychain.
Oh, yes. I wish. Ha. Huh. No, I don't have that kind of money. Dude, I ordered those stickers for my website forever ago, and they screwed them up, and I still haven't gotten my replacement ones yet.
You tell them for Persuasion?
Yeah. For the Persuasion.
Is that the 1, 2, 3 stickers?
Yeah. So I'm going to oppose everything I said about them being really, really good, and say don't go with them.
Yeah, because I was going to go with it until I heard your story, and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah,
how long does it take to get back?
Well, the stickers themselves are actually really good quality. But first of all, you know, I sent them my big, I don't know, my, what do you call it? An image file for it?
Right.
I don't know what they called it. I just sent them a picture of what I wanted it to look like. I went over it like 4 or 5 times just to make sure everything was perfect, you know? And I get the, wow, I can't think of what it's called, the proof or whatever. He sends me a picture of what it'll look like. And it was all good and everything, nothing wrong with it. So anyway, I get them in the mail, and every single one of them is missing an R. Which, in my opinion, you know, after paying $30 for these things, I kind of wanted them to be right, you know? And
right.
I didn't get that. And then, like, not even a week after I got them, which was almost a month ago, I emailed them back, and I wait for 2 weeks to get a response. And I get nothing. So then I emailed them 3 more emails, just thinking, you know, maybe they didn't receive it or whatever.
Right.
So then I get an email from somebody, and she says she'll look into it, and she still hasn't gotten back to me.
And how long has that been?
She emailed me about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's unacceptable right there. That's just...
Yeah.
Bad service, really bad. How many did you order?
250.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
How much did that put you back?
$30. They were small.
No.
The price was not bad. I mean, it's like $22 plus $8 shipping or whatever. So that wasn't that bad, the price and everything, but just what happened with it and them completely ignoring me, you know, is unacceptable, as you said.
Yeah, that's just really messed up. At least they can call you and say, fuck you.
So,
you know, at least, like, tell you, like, they did their job right, you know, at least something.
Yeah, so if you're looking to get stickers, avoid 123stickers.com.
Yeah, I'm still looking for a place, actually.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I'll try and get some Underfire stickers or get maybe both websites or whatever. Go in,
right.
Like a local place or something. Somewhere I can actually walk in and bitch at them about it for, you know? And do it.
Somebody will make one for you. Yeah. The internet sucks. Did I ever tell you that?
No, I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Yeah, well, it sucks. Even though I'm on it constantly. But, speaking of movie reviews.
We were talking about movie reviews?
Oh, I don't know. Still talking about Santa?
Yes, we were. I don't know. But I do know I have a review in the notes. So.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so Santa Wants to Be Professional. Moving on, I actually just saw the movie Donnie Darko about a week ago.
You just seen it?
Yeah, I just saw it, which I know I should have seen it a long time ago, but I didn't. So, I just rented it about a week ago, and may I say, this movie was very excellent. It easily goes to the top of my list.
Right.
The only thing I had a problem with was it was really confusing, but... That adds to the story a little bit, I guess.
because then you actually have to sit down and think about what's going on, you know?
Right.
The story itself was really, really good. I liked that. The characters were good. I liked the character development quite a bit.
Right.
From what I understand, it was a box office flop.
Yes, very, very, very much flop.
Yes, this is what the guy at Blockbuster was telling me. He's like, dude, this is an awesome movie. It was great, but it sucked in the box office, you know?
Well, not that that means anything, but it did. I remember when it came out, I saw the movie. I'm fortunate enough to have an independent movie house where I live at.
Mm-hmm.
And so they show pretty much all the independent films. So I get to check all that goodness out.
I saw
it twice when it came out. I was like, wow, this is a pretty fucking cool movie. And I'm used to weird movies, because if anybody else out there watches David Lynch movies, you know how confusing those can be. And I was still trying to, of course you walk out the movie theater, like, you know, what the hell just happened, you know? So very excellent, very excellent.
Yes.
Very cool soundtrack, so I checked that movie out.
Yeah, one of the songs on there, Mad World.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that actually is, it's one of my favorite songs, actually. I mean, has been for a long time. One of my friends introduced me to that, like, a while ago. The Tears for Fears version of it, I think. I'm pretty sure it was the original one. Very good song, very good song. The entire soundtrack was excellent.
And that movie was actually re-released recently.
Yeah, I heard director's cut, right?
Right, and they added a few more scenes. I didn't get a chance to go see that, but it was supposed to be about 20 minutes extra. I don't know how long it was supposed to be, but a very, very excellent movie, man. You can't look at a rabbit like the same after that, you know?
Yeah. And just so if you are skeptical about it, like, you know, I don't know what the story is about or anything. Basically, the kid, Donnie Darko, he is a sleepwalker. And while he's sleepwalking, he meets an interesting friend. His name is Frank. And from there, the story takes off, and I'm not going to say too much more at the possibility of ruining a part of it or something. I'm trying to avoid that. I suppose I could safely say it's about time travel. And that's about as far as I'm going to go with that.
But yeah, it kind of loses with the string theories and stuff like that, but it's really good.
Yeah, very excellent. Let's see, I actually have another review here on the Motorola V300, which I am using as we speak. If you're stupid and don't know, it is a cell phone.
I thought it was a toaster.
It always could be. You know, that's not a bad idea. Motorola toaster. Anyway, okay. I digress. So, we've got a sleek design, which is nice. If you look online, I might put a link to a picture on the show notes or something. The look is very nice. I love the colors for it. You don't see blue phones around too often. Like, ones that come typically blue. Not like this, at least. It's a flip phone, which is nice. It's got the little LCD screen on the front, which I love. I originally wanted a phone where I could take a picture with it, and just on the little front screen, it would show the picture of the person instead of the text, because I'm lazy and, you know, it's easier to see a picture than read. But reading the whole five-letter name isn't that bad either. Let's see here. The buttons were a little hard to get used to, though, because, like, the one is a circle, the two is, like, an oval shape, then three is a circle, and it, like, goes back and forth in between all the numbers, which is a little hard to get used to, but after a day or two, it's fine, so it's not that bad. As I said, it is a camera phone, which takes pretty good pictures for the camera phones I've seen and used in the past. I haven't used that new 1 megapixel, though, so I don't know how well that one is. There is no flash, which is a downside, though. But it does have some good features on it, like programs and abilities to put stuff on here, all that. It's got a bit of memory on there. I don't remember. I think it has a 16 megabyte memory for pictures. I'm pretty sure, which You can fit a lot of the pictures on there. I have at least 30 on here right now, and I have like 20% filled up, I think.
Any upskirts?
Sadly, no, because it makes that little ksh sound, you know?
Oh, screw that.
Yes, even when you put it down, it's silent, so I'm sorry, man. But lastly, the battery life is actually rather good. Although it's not that 1 year battery life I would like that me and Berserk were talking about. It does last me the entire day, and I can just charge it when I sleep, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, I noticed that about newer cell phones, that they last longer than the old ones, and that's great, man. I just got this new cell phone, and I've been talking on it for like the last 3 days, and hasn't went dead yet. I'm like, holy shit,
how old is it yet?
Yes, I've been having it for like about 3 weeks now, and I charged it like about 3-4 days ago, and I was still talking on it.
Wow.
My older phones, like, you talk for like about an hour, and that's it, you know?
Yeah. I'm actually thinking of investing in a Sidekick too. You know anything about this?
No.
Yeah, well,
And I'm not the freak.
Oh, neither am I, but hey, you know, I like gadgets.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what that is, if you've heard of the Ogo, it's basically the same thing, but a cell phone as well. It's got AIM, mm-hmm. internet, chat, all that stuff on there, which I would actually like to get. And for the price I'm paying right now, which is about $60 a month, they actually have a plan with the same amount of minutes and unlimited internet, text messages, AIM, all that.
So, who are you using again?
What? I have
T-Mobile. Who are you using?
I have T-Mobile. And okay. My plan right now with my V300, I have 600 minutes a month plus free nights and weekends, which I actually got the free nights only because of a special offer. Normally it's like $5 a month for nights. But I got that, and then I have 20 picture messages a month, which actually I can send a lot more than that because I have yet to have it tell me that I've sent more than 4 a month when I send at least 20, which is nice, because, you know, I can send a bunch more than 20 and it never registers it, so. So what else do I have? I have insurance on there, and unlimited text messages and AIM for $60 a month, which is not bad. So anyway, let's go ahead and move on. I think we are going to do the Internet 2 phone call right now, which did not go as I had expected. I will have to call back, probably, or something, because what happened, as you'll see, apparently, they don't have, like, a spokesperson who has all the answers that I want. So,
of course not.
Yeah, of course. So,
why would it?
Well, you know, being a big company and reading all these articles everywhere and having a nice, large website and having 201 different universities and just all in all being rather large production, you know, you'd think they might,
right.
But apparently not.
I think that thing's like, have you seen the movie The Cube?
No, I haven't. I actually haven't heard of it.
You should check it out. Basically, it's, the whole concept is that there's a large thing that's being built, has been built, and no one knows how it got built, even the people who made it, because everybody does something separately, and so that each person doesn't know what's going on. So I think that's what the Internet, too, is. It's like there's, like, different departments working on, like, individual things, but they don't all know what that larger plan's going to be.
I would think that would be a bad idea.
Oh, it's a bad idea, definitely. Definitely, because you don't know what the outcome's going to be. But I don't know. I've read a lot about the Internet, too, and I really don't like where it's going.
Not at all. And, I mean, I had a bunch of good questions for him, too. I mean, like, about, I mentioned the pirate Internet providers and everything. I would actually really like to know what they think about that. And, I mean, I've got a couple questions and emails and everything else. So, I've got a bunch of questions I'd like to ask him, but unfortunately, they don't have somebody I can just be like, hey, let me talk to you about this, and I will ask, you know?
Yeah. But, do you have anybody to put you on hold, or
Well, the first time I called, well, actually, I'm going to say about the first 10 times I called, I got a pre-recorded message. It was like, if you know your party's extension number, blah, 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 blah. So I just dialed a random one, and apparently, it's just for this large building, I don't remember what it was called, that Internet 2 is in. So, then I kept calling back, just trying random ones, and eventually I got a live person from Internet 2. Just like, they picked up the phone when I called, which I don't really, I'm not really understanding that. Calling the same number, going from an automated message to a live person. I mean, I'm figuring maybe an answering machine kind of thing, but calling back as many times as I did in like a short period of time, you know, I don't know, but anyway. So now whenever I call, I get a live person. So, they transferred me to somebody and I got put on hold for a little while, first time, and she wasn't there the first time I called and got a live person. So I called back today and asked to talk to her again. And it turns out she can't even help me. So, here's the call.
Good morning, Internet 2. This is Mari speaking.
Hi, this is Bob Slayo, and I'm a student at Yale University.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually just doing a report on Internet 2, and I have some questions for you.
For me?
well, this is who I was transferred to, so.
Okay, well, what kind of question? It might be something you might need to email me, and then I can pass to the appropriate person.
Well, I've actually got a bunch of questions, so. Some technical, some not.
Okay, that wouldn't be me then. So what kind of questions do you...
Well, for example, I was wondering, like, how you guys are going about funding the changeover for all of the Internet providers.
Okay, yeah, that's not me. Let me take your name. What is this, a report you're doing at Yale, for Yale? You mean?
What was that?
Is this a report that you're writing for Yale?
Yeah.
Is there a topic? Title, you know, of the report?
The title, I don't have a title yet. I just decided to do it on the Internet, too, since I've been hearing so much about it.
Okay. All right. What's your name, sir?
Bob Slidell.
If you say the last name, sorry, I can hear your dog barking in the background.
S-L-Y.
Okay.
D-E-L.
Okay. And your number, Bob?
My number?
Uh-huh.
Is 703.
Okay.
514.
Okay.
5726.
And is it specifically to Internet 2, these questions?
Yes.
Okay. Let me find somebody that would be more appropriate than myself, and I will get them to give you a call back, Bob.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
That is from Office Space, right?
Yes, that is from Office Space.
Okay. I'm making sure.
Yes.
What phone number did you give her?
I just pulled it out of thin air. I have no idea.
Oh.
So I give everybody who's listening full and complete permission to call that number. Just don't do anything to get me in trouble, because I don't know who it is. I don't even know if it works or not. So, yeah.
We'll just tell them Bob started out to us a call.
That's one way to do it, I guess.
From Yale.
Hey, okay, I'm a smart boy.
Oh man, did you get a title of the report or did she ask? I heard her ask for that.
Well, no, actually, I just said I don't have a title yet. So.
I can't believe she asked for that. What a weird question.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of off myself. I was like, you know, the one thing I didn't expect to be asked, what is it going to be called? What are we going to...
My Night Hooker. I don't know.
Oh, whatever. I'm thinking I'll just email them with the questions, and then I'll read the email over the air or something. I think that's probably going
to
be the
hopefully to answer you back.
Yeah, I think that would be the best way to do it. Let's see here. Next I have scheduled a rant on Slackware. We talked about it a little bit before. I do have a couple questions though. What is it you like so much about the Slackware?
What do I like about Slackware? Do you eat peanut butter?
Crunchy every now and then, yes.
Okay. Do you like it?
I do.
Why?
I'm not really.
See? Yeah, that's the thing about it. I don't know why I like SlackWare so much, and that's the thing. It's just I played around with a bunch of distros, you know, Red Hat, Fedora, a few Debian flavors, I mean, distributions, and I tried SlackWare, and I just don't know. I think, number one, it comes with, like, it's the most package-filled distro I've ever used. Number one. I just have it every time I load a new distro, I just, you know, in the console, just tab, and just see how many packages are there. It's a curiosity.
I can't
and,
say,
yeah.
Well, I can't say I've ever done that. The only one I've ever installed is Zeus, which is really annoying me, by the way. But I'm not going on a rant about that, so.
Well, we'll get to that just in a second. And like I said, you have said you had problems with the laptop, like, running a laptop, right? See, I've never tried that, so I'm not sure. Do you know Mephis runs good on the laptop, though?
What was that?
What? Mephis, M-E-P-I-S.
I'm gonna check that out.
Okay, because Droops has used that. It's a live studio, which can be, of course, installed on your, on live studio, of course. And, it comes with Skype. It's like one of those Canopic package-filled distributions, you know?
Yeah.
And, it's a pretty, I tried it out. I liked it. Just not as much as that. and like I said, like, most distro, like, for instance, last week I installed, Fedora Core. And, did tab, just curious how many packages, like 1,700 packages. Slack always gives me like 3,000 something. Not that that matters with the distro, it just seems like, every time I have a problem with Slack, where it's, like, it seems more logically way to fix it than Red Hat or Fedora now. Another thing is, I'm not a big fan of the Red Hat package system.
Mm-hmm. What, with
I just really
the RPMs and all that?
Right, I'm really not a big fan of that.
Yeah, I've heard bad things about them. I mean, being that I am a complete noob with Linux, I've actually been looking for an RPM with GCC in it, just because that right now is the main reason why I'm trying to get rid of Zeus, because from what I know and what I've been told, Zeus Personal 9.1 does not come with a compiler, which is very upsetting, because I have, like, a ton of little, like, applications and utilities just sitting on my hard drive, taking up space, you know? And no way to compile them. And the only pre-compiled version of GCC I can find is, first of all, 130 megabytes, which normally I wouldn't mind. But when it only downloads at 1.5K a second, and it only does that sometimes, like, most of the time, it won't even do anything. But,
yeah, I've had a problem, it will go up
to 1.5. So
I had the same problem. I installed Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm.
As they pronounce it. It's like a newer distro. It's Debian based.
Mm-hmm.
And I downloaded Audacity and went to go install it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, no compiler. I'm like, how can you have Linux on your computer installed with no compiler?
This is what I was wondering.
Yeah, I was like that. That would be like in my mind, and I'm pretty much a noob too. It, like, I would think that would be like the one main thing that would be on your computer. A compiler. I guess they expect you to apt-get everything.
Does it come with apt-get?
Just, Ubuntu did, yeah. So did, Fedora. Well, Fedora came with a compiler, of course, but Ubuntu didn't. And that kind of really just annoyed the hell out of me because, you know, you can't just apt-get everything. There's some stuff that's not on apt-get. You know, and you have to compile it. Yeah, that could get really annoying with some systems not doing that. But besides that, I really do like apt-get. That's one thing I like about Debian systems. They have apt-get, which can be really convenient. And it's really, it's better than doing the, you know, configure, make install shit.
Yeah. One question I've actually had, and I've gotten the same answer normally, but just to try and, you know, keep a new memory of this in my head, since you say that you have used more than one distro, whenever you download a program and they give you like four different options of like choose a Red Hat one, choose a like Debian, choose I don't know, SUSE or whatever, Mandrake, choose this operating system that you have to download it for.
Right.
From what I've heard, you can, it's pretty much, it all goes around, you can use it, each one on each different Linux operating system. Is that true, yes or no?
My experience, no.
Okay, so,
because
I find a lot of times that they, like, for SUSE, they don't have a specific SUSE download. So, if I'm going to switch to a lesser known distribution, what I'm worried about is, let's say, for some odd reason, I don't have a compiler again, and have as much trouble finding one now as I did before. What I worry about is being able to find the correct download for that distribution.
Okay, the thing about it is, what's universal, if you have a compiler, that is,
yeah,
is the tar ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's universal. That'll work on anything. Linux. Now, I've never even tried to do an RPM on a, like a slack box, for instance. And I don't even know if that'll work or not. It probably wouldn't, since it, you know, it's just for Red Hat systems.
Yeah.
Or Fedora now.
Well, I do know SUSE comes with the Yast, which does RPMs, but I'm finding right now it's just a pain in the ass. Because, like, I was trying to use, or I was trying to install Game, which, for those that don't know, is a messenger program, which, in my opinion, is probably the best one out there.
Agreed.
That. But anyway, so, I was trying to get that on the Linux partition of my laptop here. And whenever I open the RPM, and it shows me, like, everything, it gives me information about it. Typically, it does. But with that and a few other RPMs, it gives me nothing. So I'll go ahead and click accept to start the install, and the window just closes. And it does nothing, which sucks. So right now, whenever I'm on Linux, I'm stuck with either... I can't think of what the one on SUSE is called. It starts with a K. But,
right.
Yeah, the one, which is a pain in the butt, I hate, which also, but it does have the multiple messenger things on there. Or I use AIM, which, by all means, I cannot stand.
Yeah, AIM sucks ass.
Agreed,
but,
very much.
yeah, I've never had real luck with, RPMs or anything like that. Like I said, usual Debian systems are, of course, Red Hat. If I can't apt-get it, like, you know, apt-get, I just do the whole configure, make install thing. The tarballs.
Yeah.
Because that works. Excuse me. Yeah, that's worked for me. And every time I even try to do, like, RPMs or anything like that, I just never get it to work right.
Yeah.
It always usually crashes on me, or every once in a while it'll work, but besides that, like, ugh,
yeah. Yeah, for the listeners out there, if you have a specific distro other than Slackware, since we're talking about that right now, that you have that you really, really like, and you have reasons supporting that other than it looks cool, you know, email me about it. Tell me about it. Email me a link to the website. I'll look into it. Because right now I am currently looking for another distro to put on here and get rid of SUSE. And if Slackware is not going to work on here, I want to find something else. So, email me ideas here.
Excellent.
Yes. But anyway, let's hear. I think I had a couple other questions. Yeah, what makes it different than other distros?
Slackware?
Yeah. So, the vast amount of packages, what is better about it?
I just like it the way everything's laid out. It's like one of my told you before about the peanut butter thing.
Yeah.
It's just that I've tried so many, and it's just like I just keep coming back to Slackware mainly because it's like, I just find it easier to use, even though in reality it's probably not for most people.
Well, if you have just the determination to learn it, I guess it can become easier.
Right. Yeah. It makes you need to learn it more than actually having to go, you know, like other issues, you know, like Red Hat, for instance, or Fedora Core 3. You have, you know, there's easier ways to do it. But Slack, where you have to, you know, go to some config files, you have to do this, you have to do that. It makes you have to do it. Which is not overly hard, you know, sometimes, like, when you're finished with it, you tell yourself, you know, that was pretty logical. I can't believe I didn't know that before, you know?
Yeah.
So that's that's what all Linux systems, you know, once you do it, you're in your head, you're like, yeah, that was that config file. All you do is add one line and there I go. You know, that was pretty simple. But Slackware, just because it kind of makes you do it yourself, and which is great, because afterwards you better learn for it.
Yeah. Which is never a bad thing.
And the vast number of packages, because that's the main point for me, mostly because when I first get a system installed, the last thing I really want to do is start downloading shit.
Yeah.
You know, I really want to get this thing configured to my taste, you know, rather than having to download everything I need to, you know.
Exactly.
For instance, of course, there's a distribution, I think it was Ubuntu, actually. It was Ubuntu. And which I liked. It was like a great, like, you know, beginner's distribution. It didn't come with MMS, which is the Winamp lookalike one.
Yeah.
And player, it didn't come with that, which kind of like, you know, not that it's like required to have it on all systems, you know. I'm not saying like, you know, Windows Media Player type of thing, you know. But I would like to have, like, every other distro I knew just came with that automatically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so used to that, it didn't have that on there, you know. That's another thing that kind of got me annoyed. But I'd like to have everything installed on there, you know. You know, not everything, but enough to get me started so I can go ahead and configuring, you know, the distro in my taste. Than having to download it, a lot of shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we mentioned the asterisk with the Debian on there.
Yeah.
I'm actually considering, the original plan was to get was just to put Slackware and then add asterisk to it. And I'm actually getting a text message from Berserk. Let's see here. He says he cannot call in. I'm supposed to message him or something. And if he's talking about AIM or whatever, I don't have my computer connected to the internet right now, so I can't do that.
Hello, go. Shouts to Berserk.
What was that?
Shouts go off at Berserk.
Yeah. So I guess he won't be joining us for this episode at all. Give me a second. You can talk about whatever you want from me.
Hello, Underfire listeners. Hope you're enjoying the show. Please get naked. If you want to talk to the Also, go watch Donnie Darko. You should. Another movie you should go watch. Saw. S-A-W. Go watch that movie. What else we got going on here in the world of Underfire? Okay, when you're down in the steam tunnel, remember, always bring flashlights and pigeons. One pigeon. Do you bring a pigeon?
Oh, I bring a pigeon. I don't know about you.
I always do. You know, because you don't want to go in there and suffocate. Now, don't tell members of PETA about the pigeon, because they'll get pissed off. But bring your occasional pigeon, you should be okay.
You know, what I always find helps when I go urban exploring, I bring a marshmallow. It always gives me confidence.
A marshmallow?
It gives me confidence.
And you have something to eat if you starve.
This is true. But then your confidence is gone.
True. Then you just have to put yourself in a steam tunnel. And you don't want to go put yourself in a steam tunnel because they're moist. And when they find you, you'd be like 400 pounds and gooey, and you don't want that.
You'll be like that that one picture on Rotten.com with the big bloated guy in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah, man. That's just disgusting.
It's not as bad as Tub Girl.
Speaking of dead bodies, I've seen one a couple weeks ago.
I fell on the side of the road on a stretcher once. That was cool. So anyway, tell me your dead body story.
What's that?
So tell me your dead body story.
Oh, you want to hear a dead body story?
I do.
Okay, 2 weeks ago. I probably mentioned this 100 times. My dad's a cop, and we're just chilling. He gets a call, right? Some guy hasn't, you know, paying his bills or whatever, and he needs to go check. Everybody's heard about him, so check it out, right? Okay, so his end of the phone dropped me off, and he's like, just told me, but don't touch anything. Okay, fine. So I get there, and in the guy's house, it's all desolate and everything, but we notice blowfish on his windows. I mean, not blowfish, blowflies. And if no one knows what those are big flies that hang around corpses. And they're just, like, all over the window. So we know what's going on, right? And so my dad keeps a bottle of the salve shit, you know, like, it's about the consistency of Vic salve.
Yeah.
And you put it under your nose. So he's like, you want to come check this out? Just don't touch anything, you know? I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. That's fucked. Okay? And the sad thing about it is that this guy's been, like, estimated time death is, like, about a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never seen a body that's been dead a week and a half, I'm telling you what, this is not urban exploration, but you turn blackish color, and you, like, gain, like, tons of weight. And things come out of you that you don't want to know come out of you. And the sad part about the whole thing is that this guy's been dead, like, a week and a half, and no one knew.
Well, at least he has family and everybody that cares, though.
Yeah, not really. No one came visit. The only person that, the thing about it is the reason why we do it in the first place is because his neighbor's mentioning that he made the guy to take his garbage out. And his landlord called and said he didn't pay his rent. And we're going over there, like, you know, just to say, you know, you take out your trash out. Obviously he did, and it wasn't him. It was him that was making the smell. So that's kind of a sad story, but, he lost a lot of weight now, so he's okay. He's back to normal size.
Did you go to the funeral?
To me? Fuck no, I don't know the guy. I thought I got invited, sure, why not?
What was that?
If I would have got invited, sure. You know what? A funeral is a good place to meet chicks.
Explain.
Right?
That's
especially widow.
Ah!
Yeah, like, you're not here with anybody, are you? Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, with that.
I don't think I can ever get enough of corny jokes like that, man.
Oh, man, they're great.
I know. To be honest, those and, like, puns of, like, plays on words are, like, the funniest things in the world. Like, on my blog the other day, I mentioned that I just got moved to a different section at work. So for 10 hours, I got paid $10 an hour to stand there and watch bread go by on a conveyor belt. Loaves of bread. So I guess you could have said I was loafing around at work. Ha ha ha. So.
Did you tell your manager that?
What?
Did you tell your manager that?
No. My manager's kind of an asshole.
What would be an emergency? You know, like, say he's watching the bread. What would happen? Would it be like a bug in the bread or something? What were you looking out for?
I was just basically looking for anything that I thought was bad bread. It's basically an opinion kind of thing. Like anything that
like
I think
there's maggots.
If there's maggots
coming out of it.
That would be bad.
Okay.
Under most circumstances. Unless it was the maggot bread that we specialize in.
That stuff is good.
Quite.
Crunchy too.
Yes. It adds a little sweetness to it.
Ooh. It's like that dead guy.
But sadly this bread doesn't gain a lot of weight.
But did you find any?
Any?
Did you find any bad bread?
We found lots of
bad bread.
Yes, there's lots of bad bread. Like the bread that comes out with brown around the top corners. Supposedly that's bad bread. So we throw that into these big trash bin things that's full of nothing but bread. I make this habit of taking a good loaf of bread and setting it on top. And munching on that as I throw the bad bread around that.
So what do you do with the bad bread? Do I throw it away or?
We put it in this module, which is this large gray thing on wheels, which by the time it gets filled up is extremely heavy. We take it outside and weigh it, which if when it's full, it typically ranges about 1,200 pounds.
Whew.
And normally it's just me pushing it, so it's kind of hard. And they're hard to steer, so it's annoying.
Like, they like you.
Oh, yeah. They love me back. So I take that outside, I weigh it, and then I put it in this big lift. And from there, it gets dumped into this giant, I don't know, waste, it's called. It's like a big silo kind of thing. Where from there, it rots, and for some odd reason, they feed it to animals. So.
Oh, okay, I got a story about that now. It's a really short one. There's a place around the town I grew up at that they, it's actually Sanderson Farms, where they, you know, do the chickens.
Yeah.
And well, the story goes, and this is actually true for a little while, I think they stopped it now, but there used to be a big-ass pond in the back of Sanderson Farms, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in this pond, they had two alligators. So they did with the, you know, the chicken parts they didn't use. They throw it in the pond. And this pond was red. Like blood red.
That is utterly disgusting.
Yes, and you can smell it. Every Friday night, it's on schedule. Every Friday night, when you pass, you go overpass past it, you can smell it. Very healthy.
I'm sure. Was this pond connected to anything?
What's that?
Was this pond connected?
No. It's just a pond by itself. Which doesn't make it any better still, but.
Yeah. And, you know,
I'm sure if the smell of flashing corpses.
Yeah, feeding the alligators, I'm sure, isn't that great of an idea either. I know back in Florida, it's illegal to do that.
Well, no one gives a shit about alligators around here because they're everywhere. But, not in ponds, though. That's the thing about it, is they're very large creatures. And ponds are usually too small for them. But feeding them, they'll eat anything. They're kind of like catfish. They'll eat, you throw like, you know, bodies in there, they'll eat anything. They don't give a shit. Giving them dead chicken, I don't know. I was thinking it might mutate them a little bit. There's all the blood in there. I don't know. It's a very sick story.
Yeah, it might make a good swim for a hot summer day.
No, it does not. Believe me, I know.
Do I want to hear that story?
No, you don't. That's why I am the way I am.
Skinny dipping in the blood.
Oh.
But anyway, so I think we are about done. We are done with the notes. Was there anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm looking at these notes, man. This is professional shit. Let me see.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. I forgot. I emailed you about one thing. Side of the week. I want to get a side of the week started, okay? So yet again, another interactive portion of the show. Okay, I want everybody to email me cool websites, and we will feature at least one a week. This week I have one, and if you have one, that would be awesome, too.
Okay.
Mine, I actually did while I was doing a little looking at some directories, which I actually do quite frequently now, which I find quite entertaining. I might talk about that a little bit on next week's episode. But if you go to Fat Pipe, which is P-H-A-T, pipe.benbrown.com/show/show. That has to be some of the most random comedy I've ever seen in my life. I posted that link on the BenRev forum, and I'll put a link up on the show notes as well, along with like the 20 other links that we're already scheduled to have. But that has to be, seriously, it's like 2-3 minute shows. There's, I think, 12 of them. They're utterly hilarious.
I want to check that out.
It is awesome. Seriously, if you have like an hour to waste, sit there and watch those.
My site of the week is google.com. It's a good search engine. Check it out.
I've never heard of that. Tell me about it.
Actually, what I was going to say is, let me see. Since I'm talking about Google being stupid, but google.com/Linux. There's a lot of people that know about that and a lot of people that don't.
What was it again?
google.com/Linux.
To check out that website then.
And that it's a search engine specifically for Linux.
That's cool.
Linux, you know, documentation, whatever.
Oh.
You can also hit /BSD.
Mm-hmm.
What's really cool about it, next to the Google logo, it has like the tux.
Yeah.
Right next to it. And the BSD, of course, has a little devil. Whatever his name is, I'm not sure what his name is.
I have no idea. That's calling.
And, one more thing. I have the, for people trying to start Slackware, I have the tiny URL to the, kind of like the walkthrough. You know, if you never use it, it's going to get you used to the whole text-based, thing. And that site is, let me see, yeah, tinyurl.com/54ckl. That's 54ckl. All lowercase.
And that was for the,
this side for a walkthrough thing. Maybe I was supposed to try that out, yeah. And like, as I said before, he hadn't had too much luck doing it on a laptop, which I never tried before. I'll find some people who know a little bit more about that, because I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. Just so everybody knows, I have a compact Presario 2100, so chances are it's not going to work on there. So, but maybe it's just my setup for some odd reason. But I don't know.
Maybe it's compact.
That could be it.
I might just have put everything on compact.
But anyway, okay. So we've got links out of the way. Then I think all we have left is contact info and shouts. Did you have any shouts you wanted?
Yeah. I guess shout out to you. You're right there. Hey, how's it going? How's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Berserk, the Drupalito, Stank Dog, and Kizzle.
You stole my Kizzle one, by the way. But anyway, so first of all, I want to shout out to you. Thank you for being on the show. And then Berserk, I'm really hoping everything turns out well in this situation. Also, I want to shout out to McSkanky. Dude, seriously, good luck with this. If you don't know what I'm talking about, too bad. My friend Jennifer, because she asked for me to shout out to her. And lastly, I would like to shout out to Lynx Lupus, who is actually a pretty cool kid, and he's very eager to learn. So, keep that up, guy. And I'm not sure where Obfuscated went. We've been having a lot of really bad problems right now with the conference we're on. We keep getting kicked off, and it's happened 8 times so far during this episode, so I'm going to find somewhere else to go and record. So, he vanished on me and hasn't returned yet. It's been about 5 minutes, which I realize isn't that long, but I guess I'll finish up the show real quick. And I'm going to pretend I'm him for a minute, saying bye.
Bye!
And now I'm going to say bye. So bye. And this song is Homeboy by Sam I Am.
getting rusty. My brain took more.